In 1938, British government appointed Lord Ashley as its first consul in Baitul Muqaddas. Supported by British government, he overtly advocated the dreams of the Jews for occupying Palestine. Ashley practically acted as the representative of the Jewish residents of Palestine in different organizations, and British government tried its best to create a solid base for the Jews in Palestine. As the World War I started, British government entered its forces into Palestine and Baitul Muqaddas in continuation of the same policy and under the pretext of helping Arabs to be set free from the occupation of Ottomans. In fact, it intended to implement its long-standing plans in that country, the most important of which was fulfilling the promise given to Zionists by British Foreign Secretary. When the British government's documents were published, it was revealed that Herbert Samuel, a member of the Liberal Party, had made the proposal of the future of Palestine in British cabinet in 1915. He had suggested British government to create a safe land in Palestine so that all the Jews around the world can immigrate there. He was appointed as the first representative of the British government in Palestine. In 1917, a British expert wrote in a report to his respective government that liberation of Quds from Ottomans was supported by all Christians, Jews, and Arabs, and it would have worldwide political and ethical results. By these arguments, British government intended to accelerate the occupation of Palestine and Baitul Muqaddas in order to establish a Jewish government there, and in these conditions, due to the deceitful behavior of British officials with Arabs and the weakness of Ottoman government, Quds was not defended as it should have been. At the same time, Ottoman government started the war enthusiastically and with a lot of preparations. In the same line, in 1914, Ottoman government sent Nabavi flag to Quds, and it was welcomed in a great celebration. This flag was placed in Al-Aqsa Mosque in an area around As-Sakhra Mosque, and it was used later in Jamal Pasha's attack to Egypt. But they were defeated in this war, and Ottomans could not finish building the defense wall of the city. In November 1917, only 3 days before the besieging attack to Quds, the commander general of Ottoman forces gave his command about building and strengthening the defense wall of Quds. Therefore, when British forces attacked Quds, the defense system of the city was not prepared, and it wasn't possible to defend the city for a long time. Moreover, there were a lot of shortcomings considering providing the defenders with food and armaments, and the trenches built in some areas around the city lacked the necessary equipment and powerful artilleries. Furthermore, no measure had been taken about backing up the military or providing food for people in case the war lasted too long. Another important point was that German units, which were allied with Ottoman government, as well as the authorities of local organizations and hospitals, had left the city 5 days in advance. On November 20th, Ottoman governor of Quds announced that the road between Nablus and Quds was blocked as a result of the attack by British forces. Von Bethmann Hallwig, Chancellor of Germany, built a road and a railway for Ali Fuad Pasha, the commander of the 20th Troops of Ottoman Army. This road led to Jordan in the east, and the railway led to Hejaz. Fuad Pasha was one of the best commanders of Ottoman army. But he didn't believe in the possibility of defending Quds, and his brigade was so disordered that they couldn't resist the attack of British forces even for 20 hours. When British forces were going to enter Quds, Izzet Beg, the Ottoman governor of Quds, invited Kemal Husseini, the Mufti of Quds, and Hussein Salim, the mayor of the city, and told them that British soldiers had besieged the city and they would definitely gain its control. He said, "I will leave the city in half an hour and lay the responsibility of surrendering the city to the invading forces to you."